We read from the Word of God now as we find it in Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. This chapter concludes the first section of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 11 announces that out of the root of Jesse will arise one who will bring in a kingdom of peace. He speaks of that in the first verse and then again in verse 10. Israel was judged in God's wrath, but there would come out of the root of that destroyed nation a tremendous, beautiful, wonderful kingdom. And the response of God's people to the news of that kingdom is expressed in this 12th chapter, a song of praise. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedest me. Behold, God is thy salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For in the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord! Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Our text, a text that was chosen by one of the girls, is in the second verse, Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Trust Jehovah and be not afraid. We first of all consider the concept, what it means to trust Jehovah. Secondly, we want to consider why. Why trust him? And why will trust in him result in our not being afraid? And then thirdly, we consider the result of that. And we're going to see that that's what brings glory and praise to God, because when we don't trust him, that grieves him. And secondly, the result will be that we will sing. We will want to shout and sing, because trust in him gives us peace and joy, the like of which this earth cannot know. Great perspective for us to have, a great perspective for these girls to know as they begin a life as confessing members of the Church of Christ. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Can you say that? I know we want to say that. Do we live it? Do we really mean it? He is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. To trust is to rest upon, put your confidence in something. It can mean that you just lay yourself down. There's a certain amount of trust when I sat down in these chairs. You sat down in those. You didn't think about it. I didn't. But there was an element of trust that it wouldn't collapse. It would hold me up. And I wouldn't be embarrassed by my feet flying in the air. To trust is to lean on and put your entire weight upon someone or something. When we apply that concept spiritually, and that's of course the most relevant to the text, then it's that we put all of our weight and all of our confidence in God. Now we can put confidence in God to take care of us from a physical perspective. But the confidence that our text speaks of is that of a confidence in God as the source of salvation. And confidence in God to take care of us physically, a right confidence in God to care for us in a physical way in this earthly world, always arises out of the foundation of a trust and confidence in Him as the God of our salvation, the one who takes care of me spiritually, the one who has taken away my sin. You've got to start there. It's the only place to begin. To trust in God is to say, that's what is the heart of what Jill and Shelley said tonight. I believe that what our Lord Jesus Christ did in His life of suffering and death on the cross fully paid for the whole wrath of God that I deserve. That what I am and what I do wrong deserves from Him. But He paid it. And then He turned it around. And He lived so righteously. He so much loved God and lived in obedience to God out of that love. Didn't just do it, but He did it because He loved God. That He so loved that way that He earned enough righteousness to give to me and to all of us that were given Him of the Father from before the foundation of the world. So that I know that God is never going to condemn me. Never. That He can't say, I still have to pay. That when others join the devil in bringing accusation against me, they're wrong. Because God has said in my Son, you're righteous. I trust Him. There may be things that have happened in your lives already that scare you. Consequences that have come to you in the course of your life that make you wonder. And those are what the devil uses. Is God still angry with me? Is he making me pay? Is this which is happening to me because I've done something wrong and it's directly related to it? And he's pointing that finger and he's making me carry the responsibility for the sins that I've committed or for the ugliness of my sinfulness. And he's telling me that again and again. Is that why? When you trust God for salvation, then you say, he paid it all. I'm washed. Even as I'm still sinning, and even though I'm still carrying in myself this horrible, ugly sinfulness that's so natural to me, God is still saying to me, you're righteous and you're forgiven. I trust him. Now, to trust God that way means that I don't trust something else to make me righteous. And that's the constant struggle. If I had fallen and my feet flown in the air, and I would have been embarrassed because I would have been concerned about what people are thinking about me. Crazy example, but the kind of an example that shows how quickly our minds automatically go in the line of, what do other people think about me? We want to be good enough. We want to make sure that our hair is good enough. We want to make sure that our clothing is approved. We want to make sure that people like us. We're afraid of people. To put our confidence and trust in Jehovah is to say, I will rely on him and what he in his eternal judgment, his declaration of my justification, that's the fancy words, that's the theological language, that I trust what God thinks of me in Christ and what Jesus has done for me. And I take that, and I'm not going to trust in whether I'm good enough, whether I'm done enough, whether I'm a friend enough, whether I'm kind enough, whether I can quickly think, well, people owe me something because I've been nice to them. To trust Jehovah is to say, I do not rely on myself. I rely on him. Now, we're going to get to that point. I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. The reality of that arises from the fact that as we go through life, there's three things that we usually say or think. Instead of, I will trust and not be afraid. Three other things. The first one is this. I don't need to trust. I'm okay. I'm doing fine. Take the words of the Church of Laodicea. We're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. I've got it. Here's a little example. What a young couple like to talk about before they get married. how many kids we're going to have. Sometimes they even start arguing about how many kids they're going to have. Who says the Lord is going to open the womb? Who says the Lord is going to give any? Who says what those children are going to be like? But we just start talking and thinking in those ways as if it's, hey, it's a given. We don't have to trust. And we don't have to be afraid. The scriptures describe youth as having strength. And it's usually the danger of youth in their strength that they think, rely on something else, I can do it. Just have to maybe try harder sometimes, but I can. Rely on someone else other than myself? I can. And then we get a little older and we build up a little experience and we have some successes and we say, well, look at, I did it. I can do it. There are other times when we're afraid and we're filled with fear and we stay in that fear and we don't trust. It doesn't make us run to trust. What time I am afraid, I'm going to keep trust. I'm going to keep being afraid. God uses fear in the life of his people as an opportunity, as a his given opportunity, a God-given opportunity to make us run to the cross. He uses dangers. He uses troubles. He uses fears of all sorts to make us look up to him and see on whom we must trust. But our nature is that at time when we're afraid, the first instinct is, I'm going to figure it out. Well, I'll trust the doctor to do something. I'll have to restore my reputation. I'll do it. I'll be nice to them so that they don't stay angry with me. To dwell in the midst of fear, but not to look to that which we said before is the heart of trust, to look at the God who has saved us in Jesus Christ. We look other places. You got a headache? Well, take some aspirin. You got this problem? Take this pill. It'll cure. I'll never forget going to the Christian rest home and to listening to old Mrs. Miedema years ago tell me this. Her arthritis would wake her up at night, but she couldn't have the medication in time because certain lot of time. Then the nurse would come, and before she would take that medication to relieve her of the pain, she would pray. She prayed. Lord, use this medicine. She wasn't looking at the pills to do it. She was looking up. He can use it or not use it. Lord, in thy mercy, use just these two little aspirin, this Tylenol. No, I can do it. The pills will do it. It is the battle of faith. It is the battle of the child of God in his heart. I am God's child, but I'm also a son of Adam. And there's that old and that new and that constant tussle and the very first struggle that it has to take place within our lives as we walk through this life is to by the renewing of our mind, keep the perspective. This is a spiritual battle. This is an opportunity, whatever it may be, frustration over children, whether I can find somebody who truly will love me in Christ, and I can love in Christ. Can I trust God, or do I have to do it myself? Thirdly, there are times when we trust. We are trusty. And we're still afraid. You know that? We trust Him. We want to. But we're still scared. We hurt. We're troubled and shaken. And our trust, the trust of our faith, feels so weak. You know how that's worded in the Lord's Supper form? Have constantly to strive with the weakness of our faith. But that's the attitude. I'm going to strive against the weakness of my faith. I'm not going to just let it consume me and take me. I'm going to strive. I've got to fight here with the weakness of my faith. It's when we want to challenge God. This is too much, Lord. I trust, but I'm still afraid. I can't take it. True trust has as its very essence. Now, true faith, that's what we mean by trust, has as its very essence a confidence that makes one unafraid. But it is the weakness of our faith that makes us afraid even when we're trusting. If we could just isolate faith, and we can understand this theologically and intellectually, but also experientially, if we just look at faith, look at God, look at His strength, look at the nature of His attitude toward us, we just focus on that, then we can say, I'm not afraid. I have it. I got it. I'm not afraid of Satan. You're not? Really? You're not afraid of Satan? You know what to say to him every time he comes? You're not afraid of cancer? You're not afraid of your own sin and your love for it? As sinful as we still are, what time I am afraid, I put my trust in Thee. But I want to trust so that I am not afraid. There's a beautiful passage to note in your Bibles right alongside Isaiah 12, verse 2. It's Isaiah 51. Well, there's many others. Let's start with Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now, you want to understand the concept of the covenant? It's right in those words, I am with thee. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen. strengthen thee. Notice in the text, he is my strength. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, now see him, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I uphold thee, and I will hold thy right hand with my left, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Underneath are the everlasting arms. There's the arms. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, and I will hold thy right hand. 43, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. What's your only comfort in life and death, Shelley and Jill? Kevin, I'm not my own. I belong to him. I am his. And he says, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. How many times do we read that and not catch the powerful relationship that God is saying he has with us? I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. This is how much I care for thee. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. We could go many other places. Let's now go to 51, verse 12 and 13. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of a son of man which shall be made of as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? Verse 15, but I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. Well, there's the answer. There's the simple answer to the second point. Trust and not be afraid. Why not? Why not be afraid? Why trust? And the answer of our text is this: because God is my salvation. We want to say he's my healer, he's my helper, he does all these other things for me. And again, before we can say that, we have to say he is my salvation. He has revealed himself in a relationship with me where he has taken away the guilt of all my sins and made the judgment. God himself, the holy God, looks at me so much in Christ that he makes this judgment: righteous. Righteous. Forever righteous. Forgiven. I remember your sin no more. You remember, God says, I don't. And when you're afraid because you remember your sins, then you're afraid because you're disagreeing with God. He says, I remember them no more. When we say God is my salvation, then that is saying something about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who bought that salvation for us. But this is saying God is my salvation, which says that the Lord Jesus is God. He is divine. He in his love hath bought me. His sacrifice was fully sufficient. And then he adds this. For Jehovah, Jehovah, Yah, Yahuwah. All in caps, the word Lord is Jehovah too, of course. He says it double. When God says something double, it's to hit us over the head. Come on, get it! And when he says Jehovah, Jehovah twice, then he's saying, it means I am, very simple. Don't make it complicated. I am. And the first thing you must think about when you hear God say, I am, is this. He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. He has everything in himself. We have all kinds of needs. That's often what makes us afraid, because we think a need is not going to be coming to us. A need is not going to be met. God has absolutely no needs. He meets everything that he needs in and inside himself. He is self-sufficient. Three in one. Then secondly, he is unchangeable. That self-sufficient one doesn't change. He doesn't change, and he remains self-sufficient in his relationship. I am thy salvation. So then when again, now I know we've said this here before, but we want to say it again. When Jehovah says, I am your salvation, and he is absolutely self-sufficient, so he doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need you. You think, God doesn't have that. So if he still says, I have this relationship with you and I don't need you, then it must be because he wants to. He wants to. He is pleased to have this relationship with you. Determined from eternity. Unchangeable to eternity. I am your God. I am your salvation. I have this relationship with you because I want to. I love you. And I don't love you because I just love you because I want to. That's Jehovah. Now you want to trust? Then do it the way the Psalter puts it. In his love, confide. Trust his love for you. A part of that is to trust his love. Another part of that trust in Jehovah is this. I can trust that self-sufficient one because with him and in him, all things are possible. That fits here. One of the girls thought that might be a good text for confession of faith. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And that's the words of Jesus recorded in three different narratives of the gospel, of the gospel, at the conclusion of a young man coming to Jesus and say, what must I do to be saved? And he says, sell all that you have. Come and follow me. Commit yourself completely to me. And then he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's easier than for one who trusts in himself and in his riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, then who can be saved? The disciples rightly asked. And the answer is, it's impossible with man. But what's impossible with man is possible with God. Martha said that in her song to Mary. She said it about a virgin birth. What's impossible with man is possible with God. No less impossible is for me to trust than for me to give birth. But with God, all things are possible. Because by His Spirit, that Spirit of Jesus Christ, He is able to give me a correct understanding of Him through His Word. He is able to crush all my trust in self. He is able to teach me to look at Him. He is able to direct me by the renewing of my mind constantly to put that in focus, to remember I have created the ends of the earth. I set the heavens. I laid the foundations of the deep. Think of those words that end Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth. He's the one who faints not, neither is weary. And there is no searching of his understanding. Don't ask him why. There's no searching of his understanding. But they that wait on Jehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Because with God, it's possible to save a wretch like me. That's where we start. Then we can say, I can trust him and not be afraid. The last part of the second verse is a quote. He is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. That's a part of the song of Moses that's recorded in Exodus chapter 15. He is my strength. Some of you have as a favorite verse, a great verse out of Philippians chapter 4, 13th verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But never forget that before you say Philippians 4:13, you've got to go to 2 Corinthians 12. When I am weak, then am I strong. Because to say I can do all through Christ is to say I can do nothing. He's my strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation and the strength of my life. The Lord is. He's the source of my ability to love correctly. He's the source of my ability to view myself accurately. He's the source of my ability to look at my fellow saints, my wife, my children, in a right way. He is the source. He is the strength. And he is my song. my song. Sometimes we are so down, we don't feel like singing at all. We hate music. We don't want it on. Then there's other times when we like to sing, but what we're singing has nothing to do with God. The right road to walk and to avoid those ditches is to say, God is my song. Jehovah is my song. Again, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that He is your Lord. Rejoice that you're not your own, but His. Rejoice that He's the Lord of all things, and He governs everything. There's not a hair that has fallen from your head. There's not an event that has taken place in your life. But you can rejoice in the Lord's lordship over you. He bought you. He owns you. And you look to Him. And I can rejoice in the Lord.
Well, not in the morning, because I'm not a morning person. Just at night.
No. I can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, if you're not getting it, I say, rejoice. I will sing. I will shout aloud His praise. Joy shall be therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name be exalted, sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout. Lift up your voice with praise. Sing His praise. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. So even I can learn to be cheerful in the morning. Sometimes we overlook little words. The text begins with the word behold. Look! It's kind of a shout. Look at this! And with that word, God calls our attention to a fact, and He wants to affirm it to us. But behold also expresses admiration and wonder at what God has done as the God of our salvation. And then thirdly, He calls out, behold, because so often we're distracted. And our natures are exactly that way. We're looking everywhere else. Our mind goes to everything else. We want to think about this sports activity. We want to think about this thing at work. God says, behold! Sure, but don't. It's not that you don't look at those things, but that you see those things in this light. You don't divide your life up and say, here's the spiritual, and then I'm going to do this. No, you take all of it and you put it together on that same path, and you say, I want to look at everything in the light of the fact that God is my salvation and that He is Jehovah, Jehovah. There is nothing that praises God more than when we trust Him. You girls could stand and say yes. Pretty easy to do. Wasn't so easy when you did it in front of the consistory, but it's easy to do here. But yes, you know what? And then you stand up here, and if you're normal, at least like me, then you wonder who's looking at my back and who's...
And our mind goes everywhere, doesn't it? Except where it ought. God is praised. Yes, with a yes. But God is praised when you trust Him. I'm going to trust and not be afraid. That gives honor. You can walk down hallways of nursing homes, and you can walk down hallways of hospitals. And the nurses can tell you where the differences are. Where is the Lord to be found? Where is there quietness and peace in the midst of trouble? Where is there the ability to sing? The Lord, my shepherd, holds me within His tender care. And with His flock He folds me. No want shall find me there. Crying, you sing it. The Lord is praised. But if that is the case, nothing can dishonor Him more than when His children don't trust Him. When they're distracted. When they're so busy with other things. But think of the honor we give to Him when we trust Him. Do not be afraid to trust Jehovah. Rather, be afraid not to trust Him. Lean on Him hard with all your sins, troubles, sorrows, burdens. Nothing delights a father more than when his children run to him. Trust gives us boldness. Trust keeps us back from looking too far ahead, because nothing scares us more than when we look at what might happen. Trust says, God is taking care of me right now, and He'll take care of me tomorrow. I don't have to think about tomorrow. I've got today. And trust gives strength. Strength to say, I am what I am by the grace of God, and by His grace I can do all things through Christ, my salvation and my strength. Say it, sing it. Amen. Our Father, bless Thy word, Thy good word, so that we will trust and learn to trust more and not be afraid. To Thee be the honor and the glory and the power, now and forever. Amen.